Hello and welcome to Series 2 of Squad, the podcast from the military children's charity Little Troopers. I'm Joel M, TV presenter and magician. If this is your first time here, then welcome. Squad is the place to come if you're a part of a military family or if you have an interest in hearing about extraordinary people's life stories. Across this five-part series, I'll be speaking to some of the leading voices in sport, food, music, and entertainment who all grew up in military families. This is the part of the show we like to hear from you guys about some of your unique stories. So let's hear from Ollie and Molly.
Hi, it's Ollie, and one of the big main experiences that I've loved by being part of an RAF family was learning how to fly fish in the Yosemite Park in California when my dad was posted away there, and I just found it incredible. It was one of the prettiest places you could learn how to fish, and it's such an experience that without being in an RAF family, I don't think I ever would have got.
When my dad got his assignment order, we had to go down to Portsmouth because we knew that we wouldn't be able to live with him if we stayed in Somerset. For some people, when their daddies or mummies go to work, they go to work for a day or a few days. But when my daddy goes to work, it's for weeks on end or months, and months are always usually the hardest. I have two brothers and I'm the only girl, and it can feel quite lonely because my mum has to take care of all three of us when my dad's away, and also my grandparents don't live anywhere near us.
Ollie, are you joking? Fly fishing in California, that sounds amazing. Good memories for sure. And Molly, I'm sure that's really, really tough. I sort of know how you feel. I live in a different country from all of my family and all of my friends and miss Christmases and birthdays and weddings, and that can be really tough. But we have some amazing guests in this podcast series that hopefully will make you realize you're not alone in this. I've loved speaking to our incredible guests this series and hearing about their journeys into their careers. Listen, you hear about people being born with incredible talent and gifts all the time. From the outside, it might seem like a blessing to have that, but maybe it just adds additional pressure, and there's no doubt it still takes an awful lot of work to make a career out of it. I mean, me, I've been doing magic since I was 5 years old. I always was really drawn to that and wanted to amaze people and impress people. But the reality is, I spent hours and hours every single day practicing card tricks over and over in front of a mirror until I could get it right. It definitely wasn't natural. So when you see these people who are so incredible at what they do, behind the curtain, there's a lot of hard work. In this episode, we're speaking to Jazz Kayser, a drummer, composer, and band leader who won Jazz FM Breakthrough Act and Parliamentary Jazz Newcomer in 2021. Since then, Jazz has gone on to release critically acclaimed albums and perform around the world with the likes of Lenny Kravitz and Georgia Smith. Jazz is a staple in the thriving London jazz scene, performing with her own band and other leading British jazz artists such as Nubia Garcia and Alpha Mist. Her parents met while serving in the British Army, leading to her and her twin brother moving around multiple homes and schools throughout their childhood. Jazz spent time in Somerset and London before moving to America to study at the iconic Berklee College of Music. Oh my goodness, I'm actually so excited to be in the presence of such a skilled musician. When we spoke to Jazz, he had just come off the back of tour with rock legend Lenny Kravitz. How cool is that? Now, I've always wondered, do musicians actually get to see any of the places they travel to? Or are they just inside a tour van the entire time? Who knows? I'm sure we'll get to the bottom of it one way or another. But let's get into the interview. Jazz, good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, yeah. Glad to hear it. You're actually just back from tour, right? Is that true?
Yeah. Got back a couple of days ago.
Oh my goodness, how was that? You're not so tired?
Oof. I mean, it's working in my favour right now because the jet lag's getting me up really early. So,
where were you last? Where was the last place you played?
Australia. Ooh. One show in New Zealand and then, a few more shows in Australia. It was cool.
Well, look, to start us off, Jazz, for those who do not know, have been living under a rock, tell us a little bit about your career, maybe some milestones that you've hit during your time working.
Well, some milestones. Oof.
And there's plenty of them, I know. So.
Yeah, there's some highlights. Yeah, I'm a drummer. Mm. I've been playing drums now since I was 9 years old, so for like 20 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's been good. I love it. It's just something I really wanted to do from a young age. And luckily my parents supported that.
Mm.
And I studied, I went to music school and then I went to music college, which was cool. I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston in the States, which was like a dream come true to get to go over to America and study for real. And yeah, I've just ever since then been doing it as a career. I do a lot of teaching as well. So I, right after I was studying, I went to move to Panama in Central America to work at a music school there for my mentor and teacher, Danilo Perez.
Mm.
And then from there, I moved back to London. And since then, I've been in London now since about 2018. But yeah, since then, just been playing a lot, playing for different amazing artists like Alphamist and Shebeca Hutchins, been doing more pop things with Georgia Smith, and currently on tour with Lenny Kravitz, which is epic. Yeah, it's all a lot of fun, and it's been a lot of highlights.
There's some serious names on there. So you're just off tour right now with Lenny Kravitz. What's that been like? Tell us about the experience.
Oof, I don't even know where to start. It's been 2 years now, actually, since I kind of auditioned for the band, since I joined the band. We've been on tour pretty much relentlessly since, including rehearsals and the tour since last January. So now we're getting 2 months off, which is like a blessing for everyone. I think everyone needs a break. But yeah, it's been unbelievable, really. Dream come true for me. It's always something I've wanted to do. And to play for someone like Lenny Kravitz, I literally just texted him yesterday saying, "You're my role model." I'm so blessed to play with you.
That's unreal.
Yeah, very great.
Is it really scary when you go in and do the auditions for something like that? Because presumably, well, I don't know, maybe you're not expecting to get it, or you are, but I can't imagine it's a really fun experience.
Yeah, it was pretty terrifying. I mean, to be fair, it's always more exciting than anything. He called me about a week before he wanted me to audition. I was in the middle of just finishing up a tour with Georgia Smith.
Mm.
And he called me like 5 a.m. on the way back from a gig. I was in the taxi. It's like just one of those stories. You can't make it up.
Right.
You know?
Oh my God. You went from one thing to another, from Georgia Smith straight to Lenny. That's the high life.
Yeah. At the time, to be fair, it was actually really stressful because it was a big decision. Mm. It wasn't, you know, obviously I really wanted to play with Lenny and I really wanted that opportunity. But at the time I was quite settled and really happy with working with Georgia and Alphamist in London and doing a few projects and my own project. So I knew that it was going to be a big sacrifice to put some things on hold and having to kind of choose between artists. Definitely not a bad position to be in, but it was difficult.
Well, 100%, because there's a lot of sacrifice probably as well, isn't it? You're signing yourself up for, well, there's opportunity cost of then not working with other people, and then there's the travel and all the rest as well. You must be moving around constantly then.
Yeah, it is constant, but that's perfect. You know, being military kids,
right,
the traveling and then meeting new people, and for me I feel like it's been like kind of prepared all my life for this.
Yeah. So touching on that then, was that your experience growing up as a military child? You were moving around a lot. That was your experience.
Mostly. I mean, we definitely moved a lot. We definitely lived in a lot of different places, but I did go to boarding school, which was funded by the army. So that kind of helped with, I didn't feel like I was moving too much because also I was living at school a lot of the time.
Mm.
So it was a bit of stability there.
Is boarding school the way it is in all the movies, or is it very, very different? Because it seems fun on paper. Was that your experience?
Yeah. Like St. Trinian's vibes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm sure, especially now looking back and being in touch with a few people who are also boarding at the time, it's different for everyone for sure. But my personal experience was I loved it. It's funny because I really didn't want to do it. I was really reluctant to go to boarding school. But something about it I just loved from the get-go. I think I've always been lucky with the other girls in the boarding house who are also just really nice and supportive. It was fun for me. And we got up to all sorts of mischief and made the most of it, had a good time.
I'm sure, goodness me. Yeah. So whenever you were at school, did you have a parent that was deployed while you were in school?
Yes. Well, both my parents were in the army at one point. My mum was in the army, I think right before I was born, maybe at the very, very beginning. But then she left and my dad was in the army for most of mine and my brother's life. But he never got deployed internationally when me and my brother were born. It was actually, well, to be fair, it's kind of for a sad reason, but in a way it was a blessing in disguise because my mum got ill, with cancer.
Mm.
They wanted to move him to Cyprus and then I think maybe Germany at some point too. But basically because of that, we stayed put in England, which obviously, I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but we look back and we're like, well, yeah, it was quite nice that me and my brother got to stay in one country.
Yeah, for sure. That you get some sort of place to settle a little bit. I suppose, a silver lining of it. So it was your mum and your dad then were military. What roles were they in when you were growing up?
My mum wasn't really in the army once me and my brother were born. So I actually can't remember what her role was. But my dad was a captain. To be fair, I'm not even too sure what it entailed. I mean, because we didn't, I think it was one of those things. I don't know if they purposefully did it or if I was just naive to it, but we didn't talk too much about it. And my dad did go away to the Iraq war.
Did your parents meet in the army then, or was that another coincidence?
Yeah, they did meet in the army, actually. Yeah, quite cute.
There we go. And was there ever an inkling then that, you're born into a military family. Was there ever a sense that, it's something I might do? Or for you, was it you find the drums and you were like, no, this is it now? What was it?
Yeah, it was never something I was interested in doing. Mm. I wasn't against it. And neither of my parents ever kind of pushed and said, you should do that or anything. They're actually really, really just amazing parents that just, letting me and my brother kind of explore and figure out for ourselves what we wanted to do. And all they cared about really was that we were happy with what we were doing, whether it makes money, whether it doesn't, So I feel really grateful for that. And yeah, the army was never something I was interested in, to be fair.
Well, you've gone a very, very different direction, a very cool direction, I have to say as well. How did drums get introduced into the equation then? How'd that happen? You said you were 9 when you started, so that's pretty young.
Yeah, it was, I went to a school called Warminster School in Wiltshire. They had music lessons at school. It was a really amazing music teacher called Mr. Bishop. And he was always playing piano in assembly and stuff. Nice. I think that's important at a school when you have someone who's really passionate about music and wants to get the kids into lessons. So I think we had the option of guitar or piano or drums. And for me, it was drums through and through.
That's, you made the right choice. I have to say, I'm very jealous of your job, because whenever I was in school, I was trained up as a drummer and I did my grades and all the rest. But I never got a call from Lenny Kravitz. So I feel you've gone far and beyond. I played in the school concert band, and that was about the height of it.
Damn, that's cool. You did the grades and everything.
Did the grades. Slight side tangent, but I got my drum lessons for free because I grew up in a church family and they needed a drummer to play in our church band because the drummer died. So they were that kid plays the piano, teach him. And then they taught. So it was out of pure necessity. But I do very much envy the level that you've managed to get to. And actually, going back to school, you went to Berkeley, right? Because you see that in the movies again and TV shows. What's it actually like? Is there anything like that? Or what was your experience there?
To be fair, yeah. Oh my God. I kind of, it's nice to look back because I obviously adapted and got used to life out in the States. But at first I was this is insane. You go to parties, they got the red cups and they're playing beer pong and really like the movies. But yeah, it was, and it felt like a kind of dream as well, because, it's the birthplace of jazz, America. And going there, where kind of, it's the first time I came across a lot of people who couldn't read music or, even talk a lot about the music theory, but they were just born into music. It's part of their life, part of their culture. Mm. So some of the most insane musicians I've ever come across can just play, but it wasn't, an academic thing as much as I feel like it is a lot in the UK, not for everyone, but kind of in the educational system,
It is so true. Now I look back, I think one of my music teachers at school was a bit like that, where I know he could loosely read music and stuff, but he was an unbelievable sax player. But I don't know that he actually technically on paper knew much. He's just really, really talented and practiced more than the rest of us. So, and I suppose those tend to be the people who do really well.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, what was it like in church? Because I feel there's a lot of church musicians from the States who learnt just from, going to church, playing in a band, or a lot of drummers would sit and watch the main drummer and then eventually get their chance to have a go and you just kind of learn the songs. Yeah.
I think it's a really good thing because it forces you to play in a band every Sunday, whether you want to or not. And you get a lot of practice playing with other musicians. But again, I don't know if it's the method, because you didn't do that. And again, you're playing with Georgia Smith. So I think I'll follow your method when we go forward. Going back to school a little bit then, Jazz, did you find that being a military child affected your time at school much? In a good way or a bad way? I mean, it goes both ways.
Yeah, it's hard to say that it did, either way. When I reflect on school life and being younger, I feel like I was kind of blissfully naive, you know, just going about life. And yeah, I'm sure like my parents are probably responsible for that too, is just kind of like doing their absolute best to allow me, my brother, to have a nice life without being influenced too much by the difficulties of dad being in the army. And I definitely had some difficult times, like in boarding school, just from school maybe not being the best at managing and realizing the responsibility they have for all these kids who are living at school, and and parents. I think it's difficult sometimes for my parents to meet them in the middle. And obviously you've got basically, you know, two different parents, one your biological and one, these people who've taken responsibility for the kids who are not parenting us in the way that your parents would like. And they're kind of, you know, they've got less control in that way. So that was difficult, but that was more just, school, boarding school difficulty.
Yeah, I can imagine that was tricky. Were you the only military child in that school or no?
I don't think I was the only one, but me and I were probably one of the few.
Few and far between.
Because it was also like a music school. So there's a lot of international students who had come over with a scholarship to study music, like from a young age. So most of the people boarding were like people who'd come over to study music.
Mm.
But then my brother actually left that school to go to Duke of York's military school. So he went to a school where everyone had parents in the army, but I stayed.
Yeah. I have like a very weird niche question, but I'm just curious. You've been drumming since you were 9 throughout your entire life. Did it upset the neighbours? Because I used to get in trouble all the time and I don't think I was practising as much as you.
Oh, yeah, the neighbours is we kind of got lucky with that, I guess, because, we kind of just told the neighbours, you know, is it okay if I play the drums? And they were like, yeah, they quite enjoyed it.
You know? Really? You're nice neighbours?
Yeah, really nice neighbours. Yeah, quite lucky. I just guess I made sure not to play late at night and stuff. And my drum teacher used to tell me that I wasn't like a loud drummer. He used to want me to play louder, actually.
Really?
I don't think I was. Yeah, I didn't really like, I'd never naturally one of those drummers that just smacked the drums uncontrollably loud, you know. It was always like just a lighter touch. Maybe that helped.
But you must be practicing all the time. I assume now as well, you're still just playing nonstop. When you were growing up, how much were you practicing? Because you've made a good career out of this. That doesn't come easy. Were you just practicing all the time?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like an obsession, you know, so it doesn't even really... When I first started, I did it for fun and had the drum lessons. And there was a point where my parents had to say, you know, you should practice. Like, what did you do last lesson? Or I guess maybe if I did play, I was just playing whatever I wanted to play and not, you know, what the teacher was teaching me. but then, yeah, as it became, I guess, more and more like serious and more into it, it's an obsession. So it doesn't really feel like practice at one point. You're just discovering so much and improving and learning and you want to. So, yeah, it's just a case of every day just listening to different things. And the more you learn and the more you know, the more you want to know.
So
it's never ending.
Well, this is it. You go down the rabbit hole. It's actually really, really good advice you've sort of given, I think, for anyone listening, which is, if you do find something that you do like, you're going to practice more than other people and probably get very, very good because it doesn't feel like work. So it's probably in your best interest to look around and experiment and see, right, what is it that I actually enjoy doing? And then you can just hyper-obsess over this thing and then wonder why everybody else doesn't do that as well.
It's not that hard. It's fun, though.
It's been fun. Yeah, I know that with a few friends of mine that are really, really good at one particular thing. They always think the same thing. They're like, what do people do in their free time if they're not practicing this thing or doing this particular hobby? And it's like, well, that is not everyone feels that way. That's why you're so good. You're just focused in. Going back to your brother quickly, Jez. He went to Duke of York Military School. That's why did he go there? What was his plan with that?
Well, I think it's interesting. Like his name's Ash, by the way. But he
cool name.
We actually started playing. Yeah, he's cool. He's a cool guy. But we started playing drums at the same time. We started our drum lessons at school together. So we had joint drum lessons for a while, and I think he enjoyed it, but yeah, just not as much. And he actually told me, he's like, you were better than me, so I just, you know, whatever. I just let you do that. And then, but he was actually really good, and he's a musical person. And then he started playing trumpet as well. He did a bit of trumpet, and he's done a lot of like music in his life. But we both went to Wells Cathedral School, which is a music school in Somerset, where we went really because I guess I to get the music scholarship because I wanted to study music more. And my music teacher at Warminster was like really encouraging that, But to the point where I didn't want to move schools. I didn't want to change friends. I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to stay where I was. But he was just, oh, you know, you're so talented. You should give it a go and study and try and get a scholarship. And I did. So I'm so grateful for that kind of support. And then my brother came to that school too. But I think because the school was focused on more music side of things, and yeah, I think it maybe wasn't as good for my brother in that sense. So I'm not too sure why Duke of York's, but I think, yeah, it just, he wasn't settling as much maybe in the boarding house
with
the guys, and maybe getting in more trouble than me. I'm not
who knows.
So he went to Duke of York's, which, yeah, he really enjoyed. And he, I think he did do a bit of like cadets and stuff, because it's military school, yeah, so everyone has to do it.
Yeah. So question, Jazz, growing up in a military household, do you think that you learned any skills or mindsets that were maybe dripped down from parents that have then helped you in your career now? Because you're very good at what you do. Imagine you have to be disciplined and practice hard. Do you think any of that came from being in a military household?
Yeah, 100%. I think, I mean, my parents naturally, I think, are pretty, well, actually, I don't know what they were like as kids. Maybe they were like really messy and crazy, but they're really tidy people, and, you know, they iron their clothes. And I think in the army, you know, you had to wake up and have your bed made, and they would come in, and then you had to iron your clothes and polish your shoes. So they took that, you know, into their everyday life as well, especially my dad. And I mean, when I get home, like I got home on Monday and I was already cleaning the house. My partner comes home like, hell, you don't stop. And like, I just like to be in clean and organized environments. Yeah. In the hotel room, I tried to keep it all, you know, like, and that clothes don't go too crazy out the suitcase, and like it to be organized. But I think me and my brother spoke about how we're kind of grateful for like all the different friends we got to make through life and going to different schools, and we've kept in touch with a lot of them. And then because obviously we're twins too, so we share a birthday, and every year we have birthday together, and it's always like, you know, 20 to 30 people from all these different schools that are now all really good friends. But we kind of joined our lives together, my life, his life, all the different schools between us. And it's just, yeah, it's just so fun.
So it doesn't sound that in that case you really missed out on much friendship or any of those more regular parts of growing up because of being in a military home and you've stayed in touch with everyone. That's hard to do at the best of times, even not accounting for the moves and all the rest.
That's true. I mean, I did have like, the first time we had to move, I think, when we were living up north, because my mum's from Manchester and we lived like in Lancashire for a while when we were younger. And then I think that was the first big move I remember. We had to leave to go down south because my dad got, I think it was like the Black Watch or something, the army in Warminster. So when we went down there, I was obviously really upset. I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I had a little crew, you know, there's 4 of us. We were like solid crew in school.
Yeah.
And I was like devastated. And I think my mum reminded me that I was like in my bedroom and put pictures up of my friends on my wall in my new room and just like cried and cried and cried. I was so unbelievably sad, you know. But I think that was such a difficult time. I was like, I can't deal with that. So then from then on, it was definitely a much more like positive approach of, and then, you know, learning that you do make new friends, and there are other people in the world, and you can have deep connections. I can keep in contact with those friends, which I did for a long time, but it kind of opens your eyes and makes you realize, you know, there's not one way to live, or there's not, you know, only one friend out there for you. You can make good connections everywhere.
There's good lessons in that as well, that there really are. So sorry to go down memory lane and make you try and remember all the different sections, but
it's like a therapy session.
It is. This is what this actually is. I'm deconstructing, but we didn't want to tell you that. We're trying to get into the psyche. Going deeper on some of the actual moves themselves. So you mentioned one of them. How many times do you think you did move? Do you remember how old you were or when those happened?
I'm not sure. I mean, actually sure that we've lived in like around 20 different houses at one point in our life. But we're not, that might be like, you know, an exaggeration, but
it was 3.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Got this warped memory of life, But we did, there's like, because a lot of the time, I think there was actually 2 or 3 like houses that my parents had bought or owned, but a lot of them were army quarters. So kind of the house that the army supply when you move to that area, you live on a street, and you know, all the houses are like kind of identical. And then I think you also live in certain areas of the neighbourhood, depending on where your parent is ranked in the army and stuff like that as well.
No way.
The size of the house you get, I'm sure, it depends on the rank of your parent too.
Huh. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
How did you find living there? It was like a full street and pretty much everyone there is military based. Is that the idea then?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like sort of like military, area.
And then I assume you probably made friends with kids that were growing up on that street and that sort of thing as well then?
Actually, not too much. I think because by that time too, we were going to boarding school because we were moving a lot. So going home was actually sometimes quite difficult because then if we had like a holiday, long Christmas holiday or summer holiday, we didn't have any local friends. So it's just like me and my brother a bit annoyed by that, you know. So we'd like invite our friends from school over or for a couple of nights and kind of hang out with them. But yeah, once we started going to boarding school, we definitely didn't have as many local friends. So holidays weren't as fun as being at school, basically.
Yeah, was there ever times you thought, oh, I wish we were just sort of staying at school instead?
You just want to hang out with your friends.
See your mates. Makes sense. Well, I suppose throughout all of this, during all the moves and everything, drumming was there the entire time, basically, from when you were 9.
Yeah.
Do you think that moving around so much and there being so much change, I suppose drumming maybe was a bit of a constant for you? Do you think that was part of why you liked it so much?
Yeah, probably, actually. Like going on tour with Lenny for the last 2 years, it's the first time where when I come home to London, I don't have too much work because obviously being away so much and then such a short break, I haven't been cramming work in those breaks, but I was more used to just running around at home, you know, always going from gig to gig and tour to tour. So it's the first time I actually had quite a bit of time away from the drums, ironically. And it was even more of a realization of like how much I needed it. I thought it was more something, you know, I was giving to other people and, you know, music and community and stuff, but I was like, God, it made me feel really weird in reflection. I'm like, I think it has been a constant in my life and nice thing to always have and always focus on, and, you know, wake up with a kind of wanting to learn something new, wake up with a purpose or something excited, you know. It just gives you something to get excited about. And I'm sure that was wherever we went, you know, I think me and brother took turns. It was usually like a 3-bedroom house, I think, or 3 or 4. And then, we would kind of, every time we moved, we'd take turn who got the big room and the smaller room, you know. But I loved it when I got the bigger room because then I could put the drums in the room.
Get the drums in there, come on.
Yeah, yeah. Always set up, always playing them. Like one of my brothers, his best friend, actually, they're friends from Warminster School. He has a twin sister too. She sadly passed away now, which is kind of heartbreaking. But she was my best friend and he was his best friend. But he was telling me the other day how he remembers coming over when we were like 10, 11 years old and just hearing me banging away at the drums all day.
And they're like, look at her now.
He's like, he's a proud friend now, which is really nice.
Oh, that's lovely. Touching back briefly just on your dad, was he posted away from home whenever you were at school at any point?
No, I think he always was like living at home. The only times he was away was when he went to the Iraq war.
Sure.
I think he went 2 or 3 times for like 4 or 5 month periods. So he was away a lot, which was quite difficult. Actually, he might have gone more than that, actually.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask how in those times where he was away, how was that experiencing that as a child? It's got to be anxiety inducing, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think it's definitely difficult for my mum. And then actually even more difficult, I think, when we went to boarding school, because then she was at home without, you know, her husband and her kids. So she was just really missing everyone. But I think she saw the bigger picture and was happy that we could have some kind of like, you know, stability and stuff. But I do remember him like sending CD-ROMs in the post and making like a PowerPoint presentation with like a song in the background of his trip. And to me, it looked like a holiday, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Him in the desert in front of a tank, like, hey, I'm okay, you know, and seeing that was just kind of like, oh, cool. You know, there's dad, he's all good. Yeah. And maybe, a bit unaware of like, you know, the dangers of it and really kind of the dark side of it.
Yeah. You did mention earlier, you felt like maybe you were a bit naive or blissfully unknowing to some of those things. Do you think that was something your parents did on purpose to help you through it, or was that just they were so busy?
It does feel like a bit purposeful, and I really appreciate them for just kind of always wanting me and my brother to put happiness first, which is they were, you know, pushy parents and wanted us to do well in school and try to excel and put everything into what we do, but having that kind of pressure taken off and knowing that you're allowed to pursue and like invest in something that actually makes you happy regardless. Yeah, my mum literally said, you know, you could wear a bin bag and look good, or it doesn't, you know, as long as you have a roof over your head and you're happy, that's the most important thing.
Oh my gosh, they sound amazing. They have their head screwed on. It's really, it's nice thing.
Yeah.
But the times that he was away, I'd imagine there must have been moments where I can't think of examples, but like things for school or like times you would have been drumming as a kid. Did he miss some of those things because he was away, or do you remember that?
Yeah, I think he did actually. Mm. He wasn't able to come to like all the, I don't know, the school concerts or...
Sure.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few things that he missed that I think were probably quite difficult for him, but I think he talked to my mum about it, but not us.
Mm.
Yeah, he missed a few Christmases as well. And when he finished... Well, he kind of retired from the army and then went to work in like private security in Afghanistan, which I think is quite like a common thing to do when you retire from the army. So he also worked in Afghanistan most recently for like 10 years, I think.
Wow.
And that was really difficult too, because it's, you know, it's a good job because we were still in like music college, university. So they were still supporting us a lot. And it's, you get your retirement from the army and then you get paid really well to go and work out in Afghanistan, because obviously it's a difficult job to do.
Sure.
So he kind of took that on knowing that it was still like support the family.
Mm.
But yeah, it was always, I do remember it always being quite exciting when he's coming home. You know, it's always a thing, like, sweet.
Right.
Dad's coming home, you get the chocolates and have tea and hang out and catch up. And yeah, he'd come home with like little gifts and stuff like that. But yeah.
Perks. Yeah. Do you remember ever speaking to him whenever he was in Iraq specifically?
I don't actually. I'm wondering how we did that, because it's like not as easy as like WhatsApp calls now.
No. Because you would have been young. You would have been super young.
Yeah. Yeah. We were like 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, it was a really hectic period, because that was around the time that my mum got cancer too. So then my dad had to be back home for quite a bit to, so then he was looking after us more than her for a period as well. So it's just carnage. I probably don't even remember it like properly, because it was just a lot going on.
Sure. You've had a wild experience of life. It's all wrapped up and things seem to be going really well for you now and the family. That's actually all the time we have for my questions, but Jazz, we do have questions for our amazing listeners. So we're going to let Will take it away.
Did moving around as a military child help you when touring in different countries as a drummer?
Yeah, it definitely did help. I think moving around so much, or moving schools and having to make new friends and new connections, and yeah, I feel like it really helped in touring life. And being, you know, in boarding school too, you have to share a room with 2, 3, or 4 people, and you have to live with a whole house of people that are going to live differently to you and have different ways of doing things. And I think if you want to survive, you kind of have to adapt quite quickly. There's obviously lots of fallouts in boarding school, different people and frustrations, but I think when I was there, my goal was just try and get on with everyone. Maybe sometimes too much. I'm too adaptable to the point where, you know, I'm not prioritizing myself, you know. But it really helps on tour, for sure, to kind of get what you were living sometimes in a bus, in a room of 10 beds and literally sleeping, you know, 2 foot away from each other. You know, all sorts of emotions going on when you're living together. You see the best of each other and the worst of each other. So just learning to deal with that and not taking things personally and being able to support each other while also looking after yourself. It's, yeah, I think a lot of that comes from like moving around as a child as well.
You've learned so many lessons that you get to now apply now, which is great. Right, thank you very much, Will. Eliana, take it away.
Hi, Jazz. I started dancing at 3. I've now moved to high school. Do you have any tips on how to like keep my passion going with all like my schoolwork and extracurriculums going on?
Oof, good for you, honestly. Fair play. Sounds difficult. At the end of the day, I think it takes a lot of discipline, you know, try to stay strong without burning yourself out too much. But of course, pursue your passion for sure. That's the priority. I mean, obviously school is important as well. And I don't want to say, you know, don't do that. But but I think it's great that you have a passion, and it's great that you're good at something and can give you kind of a purpose in life. And I think that will help you with with other things. In terms of how to do it, I guess support, you know, talk to people. If you have people who support you, that's going to help a lot, because, you know, you're not on your own, whether it's your parents or whether it's a friend or whether it's a teacher at school who you can tell them that you really want to do something, or and then see if you can find people who will support you and help make it happen, because there are good people out there who will for sure help you out. So don't feel like you're in it alone, I guess.
That's really good advice. Jazz, thank you so, so much. Before I let you go, I've got one final question. For those who are listening, our wonderful listeners, do you have any top tips for them, for people who are growing up in military families, for how they can get the most out of school and how they can go on to have a good career? Because that's what you've done. What would be your top tips to wrap things up?
Top tip. I mean, I guess it's easier said than done, that's for sure, because I understand life is difficult and life has challenges and all of that. But I think trying to stay positive and always look at the bigger picture and just know that, you know, maybe when things are difficult, they always get better. Sometimes when things are going amazingly, you come across like challenges as well. So it's just understanding that you'll find ways to deal with it. And finding community wherever you are, I think, helps. It's a horrible thing to feel kind of alone. So I think you get support in all different places. Sometimes it's your home life and your family, and you can stay connected to them. And there's so many ways to stay connected now with technology. Or maybe your home life is a bit more difficult, and you find connection in your friends, and they're like your people. Or you can have good relationships with your teachers. And I think just finding and surrounding yourself with people that support you and bring positivity to your life is important, and know that it's all going to be okay.
No, I love it. I can't think of a nicer way to end things off. Jazz, thank you so, so much. It's been lovely speaking to you. Can't wait to see what you go on and do next, but best of luck with everything.
Thank you very much. Cheers for having me.
Oh my goodness, isn't Jazz just amazing? I loved speaking to her. And isn't it cool to know that the things she learned and picked up on as a child in a military family have stuck with her now as an adult? The discipline, the positive mindset, but also really interesting to get a peek behind the curtain into her childhood. As always, please get in touch or share your thoughts or ask any further questions for Jazz. You can find us on Instagram, email us, or leave a comment on the podcast platform. All our details are at littletroopers.net. That, sadly, is all the time we've got for today. Thanks so much to Jazz for chatting to us on this episode of Squad, and to Ollie, Molly, Will, and Eliana for their brilliant squad stories and questions. And thanks to you for listening. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find lots of other interesting stories waiting for you there. I'll see you next time.